us. That'd be fine. Okay, so we're thinking about Jesus versus the devil. Jesus versus powers that we can't deal with, and this time it's Jesus versus the devil. Now, immediately that I say we've got Jesus versus the devil, as seen here with Jesus and these two demon-possessed people, we immediately have a problem. Because we can think, really? Is the devil really real? I mean, isn't he more sort of something that you kind of make fun about? That in cartoons you might see cartoon devils. Or on Halloween, people kind of make light of evil and the devil and that kind of thing. And I have to say, I've never seen a child dressed as the devil. Maybe you have on Halloween, but it's kind of that poking fun at the devil. Is he really real or is he not? And mostly in the West, we would tend to say, well, he's not really real. And the evil that there is out there is just people being nasty. And yet, actually, we do have a problem. There's a scholar, a non-Christian scholar called Andrew Del Banco, I don't know how you say it really, but he said in a book called The Death of Satan that we in the West, we have this big problem, which is that we've got rid of the idea of the devil. Now, he's not a Christian, but he's saying we've got a big problem with this because we've got rid of the idea of the devil, and yet around the world, as we look around the world, we see so much intense, real evil. And he says the tendency has been, because people disbelieve in the devil, they say, oh, the devil doesn't really exist, therefore they tend to underestimate how bad people can really be. So the president of America during the Second World War, Franklin Roosevelt, he, along with various others in the American elite, sort of decided that it wasn't really a priority to go and help those who were victims of the Nazi regime, because they just didn't think it would be that bad. But as they went through, as the war carried on, and it turned out how awful people were being treated, the Jews were being treated, it was almost like he couldn't quite compute what was going on in the world with what he thought about people, until someone managed to give him a book by a guy called Kierkegaard, who was a Christian philosopher. And in reading that, Franklin Roosevelt then saw, actually, this does explain the world. This does explain the real evil that there is out there. So even non-Christians can see that we've got a problem. If we sort of eliminate thoughts about the devil, it doesn't actually explain the world and the way it is. Because the world and the way it is that there really is intense evil out there. And actually, having written this before the last few days, you can see it even more in the last few days, can't you? That those bombings, those attacks in Paris are really evil. They really are. And we wouldn't deny that. See, the devil really is real. Our first point is the reality of evil. The reality of evil. Evil really is out there. It is big and it is vicious. And people will do horrible things to one another. But here's the good news. And the good news is shown by Jesus with these two demon-possessed men. Because our second point is Jesus' utter dominance over evil. Jesus' utter dominance over evil. Okay, so here Jesus is. He's gone over to the other side of the lake. And it seems like from verse 18 that he's gone over the other side of the lake sort of to get away from people, to have a bit of space. And yet, in going over to the other side, which was kind of Gentile territory, so not Jewish territory, Gentile territory, he is met by these two demon-possessed men. So violent, people couldn't pass that way. They lived amongst the tombs, we are told in the verses. Now that, for Jewish people, and Jesus was a Jew, for Jewish people, to be amongst the tombs, to live amongst the tombs, was a big thing about uncleanness. This would have made these demon-possessed people unclean. Maybe it's because the demons love to be in a place which is just unclean. It's a place of the dead. And yet they meet with Jesus. And we see, as Jesus meets with these two demon-possessed people, it's almost as if within the Gospel of Matthew, this is the point where the devil kind of meets with Jesus. And maybe you expect, with the devil meeting with Jesus, that there's going to be some enormous battle, a kind of Star Wars-like battle that will go on. Jesus gets his lightsaber out and the demons get there, and there's a big colossal battle going on there. Of course, we wouldn't expect that, but you know the kind of thing I mean. And yet, when Jesus meets these two demon-possessed men, you don't get any kind of battle at all. Jesus just dominates. The demons recognize a few things about Jesus. They recognize Jesus' position. They recognize Jesus' position. They don't just recognize his name. They don't just know his name. Do you see? They recognize his position. Verse 29. Have a look. They say to him, "What do you want with us, Son of God?" Now that's interesting right from the start. These demon-possessed people, these demons, they know who Jesus is. People have been struggling to recognize who Jesus is, but these demons know exactly who he is. This is the Son of God. There's no struggle there. And furthermore, the demons are submissive to Jesus. They're submissive to Jesus. They do exactly what Jesus says. In fact, right from the start, they're saying to Jesus, "Don't hurt us, don't torture us." They submit to Jesus straight away. There is no battle like Star Wars or Lord of the Rings. Jesus just commands them. And they recognize that they are under him. But also, these demons recognize that there will come a time where they will be judged. There will come a time where they will be judged. Jesus will be the judge, because they say to him, "Have you come here to torture us before the appointed time?" These demons know there is going to be a time in history when Jesus will come back and where they will be thrown into what you hear later in the Bible is called the abyss, where judgment will land on them. Jesus will be the judge. He will be the one who do it. And they're sort of saying, "Have you come here early? It's not judgment time yet. We've got time still. Have you come early to torture us before the right time?" They know there will be a right time. Now, just as a little aside, do you notice here, these demons, they recognize who Jesus is, they are even obedient to Jesus, but they're not okay, are they? They're not good, they're not Christians. You see, it's perfectly possible, actually, for us, even to recognize who Jesus is, that he is the Son of God, and in a sense to be frightened of him, to be fearful of him, and not actually to be Christians. Because they don't willingly and joyfully submit to Jesus. They don't ask for mercy from him eternally. They don't come before him wanting him to be their Lord. Jesus' dominance is evident. He has complete power over them. Now, do you notice there's the curious bit? There's the odd bit which comes up next, which, having looked in commentaries, there isn't a great deal of conclusion as to why this happens. But verse 30 is a bit strange, isn't it? Verse 30 and 31. Some distance from them, a large herd of pigs was feeding. The demons begged Jesus, "If you drive us out, send us into the herd of pigs." He said to them, "Go." So they came out, went into the pigs, and the whole herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and died in the water. Why? Why have we got that bit? Why do the demons want to go into the pigs? Okay, few ideas for you. First, maybe it's because the pigs are unclean. And in the sense that for Jewish people, pigs are unclean. They wouldn't have kept pigs, wouldn't have eaten pork. They missed out on bacon sandwiches and sausage rolls, pork pies. They missed out on all that because pork and pigs are unclean. I think they missed out on a great thing. But there you go. But the Lord told them that pigs are unclean. So maybe they wanted to go in them because they're unclean animals. Maybe they wanted to go into them because the devil just loves to destroy God's creation. And so they knew that in going into the pigs, they would destroy all those pigs. Maybe it's because of the result of the local population, because when the herdsmen go into the town and tell the people about what Jesus has done, they come out and tell Jesus to leave. We'll come to that in a moment. So maybe the demons know that's what's going to happen, and that's why they want to go into the pigs, because of the result. Or maybe it's because they're saying to Jesus, look, just don't destroy us. Don't destroy us now, before time, so we'll go into the pigs. You know, at least we're free to roam around still. Well, whichever it is, Jesus agrees. Clearly because, well, their time hasn't come yet. And so he lets them go into the pigs, and the pigs head into the water. But still we see Jesus' complete dominance over evil. Jesus and the devil, there is no contest, really. Even though throughout the Bible, there is this contest which is there throughout the Bible of the devil versus God, which you do see at various points as you go through the Bible, yet you know, actually, the Lord is in complete control over it all. And ultimately, the victory that God has over the devil is won at the cross. The Bible tells us that is where there is victory for Jesus, when Jesus dies on the cross. It looked like the devil had triumphed, and yet that was Jesus' greatest triumph over evil. So, we need to recognize, because, remember, our second point is Jesus' utter dominance over evil. Now, therefore, we need to recognize that the devil is real. He does exist. He is powerful. But actually, even the devil, in the end, only does what God wants. He only actually achieves God's purposes. And therefore, though we need to be on our guards, we don't need to fear the devil. We don't need to fear the devil if we're Christians. Now, I wonder how you deal with this with your children, if you've got children. Do you have children who are sometimes afraid of things, sometimes scared of things? How do we deal with that? Well, we've got a couple of options in front of us. Generally, one of the ways is to say, well, that thing that you're frightened of isn't real. Well, that's a fair way of going, if it genuinely isn't real, then that's a good thing to do, isn't it? And actually, even sometimes as adults, we have to say, actually, we're getting scared of something, but it's not a real thing. It's something we've made up or something that might happen, but we don't know that it will. And so part of the logic we can use on that is to say, well, now, come on, it's not a real thing. Well, okay, fair enough. But actually, there are some things where you've got to say, we can't just say to our children, well, don't worry about that. That's all right. It's not that big a deal. Far better to say to them, actually recognize who Jesus is. To say to them, actually, Jesus is bigger than the devil. He is bigger than anything, and he loves you. And if you're his, you are utterly safe in his hands. And that is a far better way to be, far better for our children, isn't it? That they know that they are secure in Jesus' hands, rather than just saying, oh, evil, it doesn't really exist. You see, we need to help our children to trust in Jesus' dominance, utter dominance over evil. But lastly, thirdly, the devil is still on the prowl. The devil is still on the prowl. There was a point in the Second World War where it was clear from the Allies invading Europe that the Allies were going to win. I was reading recently a book called The Cooler King, which was about a prisoner of war, RAF prisoner of war, and his many attempts to escape from prisoner of war camps. It's great fun. It's really interesting to read. And at one point, he made it home after the war, but he just kept trying to escape. It was a great read. And he said there came a point in the war where the German guards knew that the game was up. They were going to lose. And the Allies were going across Europe. And so actually the camps, they had to take the prisoners and move them further and further away from the Allies. That's the way they dealt with it. But, they say, one of the most depressing things for the Allies as they were moving across Europe was the fact that Germany was still fighting, that there were still Allies being killed, even though they knew that victory was going to happen. And even sadder for those who had to write home to the families of those who'd been killed, even though they knew that victory was going to happen, and yet people were still dying. You see, the devil, even though he is defeated, is still on the prowl. Now, we need to know, what is the devil's tactics? What's his aim? What's he trying to do? Because if we don't know what the devil is trying to do, then we won't be able to spot him, or we won't be able to know how to defeat him. What's he trying to do? See, he isn't just trying to cause mayhem, and he isn't just trying to spook people. What does he try to do? Well, the answer is he tries to stop people from following Jesus. Whether that's stopping people who are already trusting in Jesus or whether that's trying to stop people from coming to Jesus. And now we have to be a little bit careful here because this doesn't say that the devil is involved in this. But it is interesting what happens next in the story, isn't it? What happens? Verse 33. Well, I've kind of already told you, but let's see it as it's told in Matthew's Gospel. Verse 33. Those tending the pigs ran off, went into the town and reported all this, including what had happened to the demon-possessed men. Then the whole town went out to meet Jesus. When they saw him, they pleaded with him to leave their region. Now, isn't that an interesting reaction? Here's Jesus. He has just cast out demons from two demon-possessed people. And the crowd comes out and says, Jesus, we'd rather you left. Would you leave? Would you go? We don't want you here. Why? Why are they being like this to Jesus? Well, it could be a couple of things. One is the loss of the pigs, and this is the livelihood of these herdsmen, that they've lost their living. Or it could be that if you're frightened of the demons in these men and you wouldn't go near where they were, here is someone who is more powerful than the demons. And you don't particularly want him around either. But the result is they don't want Jesus around. Now, like I say, we've got to be careful in this passage. It doesn't say that that was the devil's design, the devil's desire. It may have been. But we do know from elsewhere what it says about what the devil wants to do. Would you just turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5? So 1 Peter chapter 5, I'll give you a page number in a moment. 1 Peter chapter 5, it's page 1221. Page 1221. Page 1221, 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. Have a look at those verses. It says this, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Now, notice that, will you? Peter is saying the devil is real, and he prowls around like a lion looking for someone to devour. There are various stories, aren't there, about people who go on safaris in Africa and wind down the windows or get out of the Land Rover. I don't know whether any of them are real. Do you reckon they are real? Yeah, sadly, okay, they are real. Sorry, I was looking for South African confirmation here, and Tanzania. Yes, it is real. People getting out to stroke the nice cats and actually getting devoured. See, Peter says the devil is real. He is out there, and he is looking to devour people. Now, what does that mean? It doesn't mean physically he's going to eat them. It means he's aiming for their faith, that it would stop them trusting in Jesus. And you see that because you see how to deal with it. Next verse, verse 9. Resist him, how? Standing firm in the faith. Keep trusting Jesus. That's how you deal with the devil. Now, what are the devil's tactics? How does the devil try to do this? Well, in some places, he does use the spectacular. He does use things like demon possession. He did when Jesus was walking on earth. And I was talking last week with a Nigerian church pastor. And I asked him, because the subject had come up in one of our meetings about people being demon possessed. And I said to him, have you experienced this where people have been demon possessed? He said, oh, yeah, that happens. That happens a lot. I mean, he's not saying it's every other person or anything like that in Nigeria, but he is saying, no, it is a real problem. It is a real thing that we have to deal with, which is casting out demons. You think, well, why don't we see that in this country? Ah, well, because the devil has another tactic here, doesn't he? Which is to be unnoticed. It is a bit like those herdsmen whose living was lost, who actually, it reveals that their hearts really, what they really wanted was just to have, their livelihood. They didn't really want Jesus. They just wanted to be successful. They wanted to be okay in their work. And actually, so many people around here, what's our biggest problem? Why don't people look for Jesus? Because we're all right. We're successful. We're okay. We don't think we need Jesus. Well, that is exactly the devil's tactics. You see, he might use suffering, or he might use success. He might use people being demon-possessed, or he might use people just doing okay in life. Either way, his tactic is, his plan is, that people don't put their trust in Jesus. So how do we fight the devil? How do we battle Satan? Well, as we've seen, by faith, by trusting in Jesus, by coming to him and living with him as our Saviour and Lord, by putting our trust in Jesus, and by proclaiming Jesus, by telling people about Jesus, praying for them that they will put their trust in him, and looking for opportunities to speak to people about Jesus. Now, we've got to remember, this is a spiritual battle, isn't it? Those we speak to, those we invite to things, they may well say no. Or more likely, they'll say yes and then maybe not turn up. Why? Why does that happen? I mean, if you invited someone to go out for dinner, you wouldn't expect they just not turn up. Why is it that people say when it comes to coming to church, oh yeah, I'll come to that, and then don't turn up? It's because it's a spiritual battle. Because the devil doesn't want them to come along. And they'll use whatever means not to get them there. So we need to pray for those we know who don't yet trust in Jesus, that the Lord would open their eyes, that they would start to have faith in Jesus. We pray for them and we tell them about Jesus. So we've seen the reality of evil. There really is the devil out there. He really is real. But we see Jesus' utter dominance over evil. Jesus has won. And one day he will cast the devil into the lake of fire, as it says in the book of Revelation. Jesus' utter dominance over evil, seen at the cross, where Jesus won the victory. And we've seen that the devil is still on the prowl, looking for those to devour. But that we battle Satan by trusting Jesus and looking for opportunities to tell others about him. You may well have questions. I would be amazed if you don't have questions after this one. I would love you to ask me questions. I may well not have the answers, but at least it's interesting to know that you've got questions. So if you've got questions about this, have a think. What would they be? Just have a think for a moment. What question have you got about this? There are probably loads you could have. Okay, and let's talk about that afterwards. Grab someone else who you know is a Christian. Ask them. Have a chat about it over tea. Come and have a chat with me. Ask me your questions as well. I'm going to pray for us. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for Jesus. Thank you that he is completely dominant over evil, over the devil. And Father, we thank you that he won the victory on the cross, dying for us, something that looked like the devil had won, and yet Jesus won the victory over the devil there. Father, please would you help us to keep trusting Jesus, not to be lured away from him, but to stay close to Jesus, to stick onto him, to keep trusting him. And we pray for our families and friends who don't yet trust Jesus, that you would open their eyes to see how great Jesus is, that he is the Lord, and that they would put their trust in him. Amen.